If you want to explore how businesses actually use the massive amount of data they are collecting about you every day, you have landed on the right podcast. We look at the tech, people, and the processes cutting-edge businesses are using to collect data and answer the question, I have the data, now what? Here is your host, Asha Saxena.
Welcome, divers. This is your host, Asha Saxena for Dive with Data. Cognitive technologies provide real opportunities for businesses today. They're the product of the field of artificial intelligence. They're able to perform tasks that only humans used to be able to do, like computer vision, machine learning, natural language processing, and so much more. Today, on Dive with Data, we will explore the world of cognitive technologies with Tracy Ring, Cognitive Analytics and RPA Alliance Portfolio Leader at Deloitte Consulting. Computers cannot think, but now they can do things humans were able to do. It's now possible to automate tasks that require human perceptual skills like recognizing handwriting or identifying faces. Cognitive skills such as planning, reasoning from partial or uncertain information and learning from it. Artificial intelligence and cognitive technologies have been evolving over decades. Businesses are now taking a new look at them because some of these technologies have improved dramatically in recent years with impressive gains in computer vision, natural language processing, speech recognition, robotics, and many other areas. The journey is long, but we are still working on it. Many businesses have been aggressively experimenting with these technologies in their own businesses and deploying multiple solutions based on them with great effect. Over the next 5 years, we expect the impact of cognitive technologies on organizations to grow substantially. Leaders of organizations in all sectors need to understand how and where to invest in applying these technologies. So with that, let's welcome Tracy to our show. Tracy, welcome to Dive with Data.
Tracy, tell us a little bit about your journey of being a cognitive analytics RPA portfolio leader at Deloitte. How did you get here?
Thank you so much for having me. I am delighted to share my story. And I think it's one that has, indicative of how diverse we see the current state of the industry. But I grew up as a developer and working in, at the time, business objects, building reports, and got really involved and fascinated in how important it was to have the right data architecture behind that and worked in master data management and was a data modeler for a number of years. And I had matriculated through a number of large organizations, mostly working in consumer products and other industry roles, and was leading a very, very large EDW implementation. And I realize EDW isn't even a word we use anymore, but this very large data warehouse program. And I had a consultant come to me and say, you know, we're not trying to recruit you, but we think that you would make a great consultant if you, you know, when you wrap up this project, something to consider. And the rest is a little bit of history. So I joined Capgemini Consulting and for a period of time was leading large scale, just technical implementations around all things data and analytics. Had the opportunity to work at a very large beverage manufacturer and lead a center of excellence that was everything from the nuts and bolts of the hardware and support all the way through the visualizations dashboard. So it was very, very large implementation and, 200 people, which for those of us that grew up in that decision sciences and BI world, having a team of 200 people was almost unheard of. And at that time was approached by Deloitte and they asked if I wanted to come join their analytics and information practice. And I've been at Deloitte almost 9 years now. I now work in a slightly different role, but still very, very passionate about helping our clients solve and, navigate the world of having the best, highest quality data. And I think in a very exciting time where we're seeing cognitive and artificial intelligence and the world of bots be not only something that's available, but something that's almost required as part of every implementation that we do and all of the strategic consulting. So I work across our community of vendors and trying to bring both the best and the brightest consulting talent to our clients, as well as working with those leading and bleeding edge technologies to bring the best in those technologies to our clients. So a very interesting shift, but I think still all aligned to the same material goals.
You know, you talk about EDW and people who don't know EDW, it's the Enterprise Data Warehouse, which used to be, as you said, huge deal in organizations when they would start that, you know, project. There's also a fear among the technologies that I make the data available to business users and they might not know what to do with it. And mm-hmm. they just come back to me. So the trust is not there. Do you think that the business users need to get more data savvy or technology savvy? Or how do you build that trust among technologists and business users to really start coming together and working together?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's room to grow on both sides, absolutely, right? I think, you know, there's a lot of research around the idea that at times visualization tools, you know, the number one entry point in how organizations begin their process of procuring a new visualization tool is because an intern came in and downloaded it and showed it to an executive and, you know, showed it to someone and it's just sort of grown like wildfire. And so I think the idea that anybody in the organization can begin to influence the future, regardless of what level that you're coming in, because I think that the stories of the organization are just sort of ripe for being told in a new and interesting way. And I even find myself, you know, sort of asking more interesting questions around correlation. And, you know, I would love to see a Venn diagram of, you know, two widely disparate things and, you know, who has that in common? And every once in a while, someone will contact me and say, you know, I'm amidst all of this change. And, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, we're going through a storming or forming or norming or, you know, whatever it may be, that it falls under that category of sort of uncomfortable. And my advice to them is always, well, next time you have your next behavioral interview, you now have a really great answer. And unfortunately, you're just in the middle of it right now. And hopefully you have a really great story to tell on the end of it. But I think getting comfortable with change, again, the velocity of what we're seeing shift as far as all things data, you know, some of it is forced to do the regulatory changes. You know, so certain industries are under an unbelievable amount of pressure with regulatory change. But at the same time, I just think that, you know, rather than, you know, we used to do analytic strategies that were a five-year roadmap. We sort of stopped doing them for 5 years and shifted it down to 3 years. And I think as we get more towards a DevOps world for all things IT, you know, it will be interesting to see, you know, does that shift down, you know, to sub 12 months, right? And really think about, do we even think about strategy in an iteration-based view of the world? So really a time where there's so much at change, but I think the velocity of which we're adding business value and engaging the business is phenomenally different. And that is what makes it the most exciting is that rather than, you know, a time where we were sort of very, very separate. We even had at the time sort of liaisons that worked between IT and the business because they couldn't even speak with one another. I've not heard of anyone having that role for 5 or 6 years, and that's fantastic. That's a role that thank goodness the business is getting more technical and IT is getting more business oriented. And, you know, I think that's a great outcome of all this. And I see them becoming far and far more integrated. You know, when business users are in the agile stand-up meetings, you know, that just really does my heart good because I feel like that is embracing what I would consider one of my most important mantras is that we're all going to get in the boat together and we're all going to paddle and there's not going to be a man overboard. We're all going to go the same direction. And this is after years of everybody getting in their car and driving to the same place and, you know, a lot of individual recognition. You know, I think that I'm thrilled to hear and observe more organizations doing what I really preach about, which is let's get in the boat and we're getting there together.
I love that analogy. And I think the fact that IT is becoming more business savvy and business is becoming more tech savvy, I think getting in the boat becomes easier. It just becomes easier because you have the same destination.
Yeah. I mean, do you see that in, you know, the academic world? Is that where you're seeing leading practices, or how do you see it sort of playing out as far as?
Yeah, so there are, at Columbia Business School, which is known for their business education and finance. You know, very, very known for finance and business, and they are really taking the lead now in entrepreneurship. They actually have courses on data-driven entrepreneurship and analytics. So they're making their business classes and business students more knowledgeable about technology. And on the other hand, the engineering students are actually taking business classes. Mm. To communicate. So we actually, I teach a class called Immersion Big Data, and the engineering students come to my class to actually go visit, site visit organizations and see how they're using data and learn about how you build a business case. And these are, you know, very tech-savvy engineers, very into heads down doing, you know, playing with the data or stats or programming. But these are the kids who are actually going out and taking these business classes at Columbia Business School and checking out how to actually bring the value. So in academia, I'm very, very aware that we have to bridge that gap. I'm also teaching another class at TDWI, and I'm teaching the class talking about how to build your data strategy using business strategy as the core.
That's fantastic.
And I think that's something which I see, and it's going to help businesses to come and build better solutions for their customers because of that. So share with our listeners what kind of entrepreneurial firms you're working with in the space of cognitive analytics and RPA, and what excites you when you see these? What are the trends in the entrepreneurial startup world you're seeing that I think we all should be excited about?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's an interesting time from the perspective that, you know, all of the trends of, you know, we see organizations, and I see it quite often where individuals will work for a traditional vendor and they'll have an idea. And I think because, you know, the world of, you know, what I can do on my laptop after work that I'm interested in and kind of play around. So I see this, dramatic shift in, I think everybody believing that there are so many amazing areas that they see untapped, and the ability to answer the call around something that's untapped can be done very, very quickly. And, you know, the access to tools, the access to technology, you know, what you can even develop on your phone is, you know, far better than anything that we had on the most robust of mainframes at times, right? So I think that access, and I think that spirit, right, that there are things and products and ways that we live now, you know, whether it's, you know, creating a new app or whether it's creating a new way to interact with people. I think that the entrepreneurial spirit, I feel like, is alive and well within so many more people. And I feel like that, you know, sort of the safety net of if I wanted to create something, is so much more reassuring, and that you could do something really creative. And I think, you know, given the world of Uber connectivity that we have at this point in time, that you can, you know, have a whole host of fans that you don't even know, and you know, posting through some of the social media networks that you may be interacting, and people could be trying your product that are, you know, across the globe that you've never met and have never heard you. And the conversation is so much more open now. I think everything has changed quite phenomenally from a world of what used to be sort of chat engines and things like that, and into sort of hyper connectivity. So I love I think the spirit of the whole technology world has changed quite dramatically. And you see it in, you know, the big sites that kind of attract that crowd. It's the velocity and the excitement on them is just a completely different mood, in my opinion.
I agree completely. And I think that it just brings a new talent who can now, and our kids, I mean, our kids grew up with these technologies. So the next generation is coming into the workforce is a lot more savvier about these technologies and adoption of new technologies and embracing, you know, the cognitive data and social, aspect of working in the work life now.
Mm-hmm.
New way of working than how we did ever before.
Someone said that the children of today will never even have a driver's license, and certainly that's sad for those of us that was a major rite of passage. But it's a time where all of the old rules and all of the old assumptions can really be reassessed and start asking a whole new set of questions. And I'm increasingly invigorated by the opportunities that I have to work with our interns and, ask questions about why does it have to be this way? And I think we're starting to see executives really think and say it actually doesn't have to be this way, and in an openness that is really around sharing and collaboration, and certainly all the things that the social networking tools have opened us up to, and some of us went into them kicking and screaming, and other people embrace them more. But I think it's impossible to say that they've not changed everything about how we interact.
I agree. And the fact that you're giving back and paying forward, Tracy, I think that is such a noble thing to do. You know, I think we all should do it. You know, at a certain point, you know, you've given 20 years of your career, and then I think everybody who's in the business world should pay back. And the fact that you're in this initiative to help entrepreneurs, and you are also leading initiative for Deloitte, Women in Data. Can you talk to our listeners about that and what the program is about?
Sure. So about 6 months ago, I'm very fortunate to have a mentor who is very, very aware that I come with sort of the wild and crazy ideas. And albeit this wasn't so wild, but I said, really, I wish that we were doing something. You know, we have a lot of initiatives at Deloitte. Our WIN initiative is nearly 20 years old that was, founded on the idea of really around retaining and, supporting the growth of women. But I really felt that women in data was an area that we were missing. And I felt as I could see the growth of the role of the CDO or the chief data officer growing, so many CDOs were not women. And I was really scratching my head and thinking, why are there not more women that are in this role? You know, so many grew up with skills that were in data. And I think there's a lot of reasons why they're not. And I can't necessarily solve for all of them, but I think that I can definitely do whatever that I can do and foster growth around creating the CDOs of tomorrow. And that's really what it's built on, right? So we know 25% of chief data officers are women, right? And so, getting one out of four seats was not good enough for me. And I see, women are underrepresented at leadership levels across the board. But I wanted to do something that was in my area of passion and really in that data field. And so we got together and, decided that we would define a cohort of women, and the response was overwhelming. And so we started with 25 women, and as the invitations went out, I started getting more and more and more emails back. Why are there only 25? Can I create my own? How can I join? Is there a way that I can contribute? Tell me how I can help. And the most amazing part was that it wasn't just junior women that wanted to grow up into CDOs, and it wasn't people that were really close to being a CDO. It was women that were already in chief data officer roles or women that were working next to a chief data officer that they really respected that said, I want to bring more women up. And so I was unbelievably fortunate to have a cohort of women get together. We've started the conversation. We had an amazing panel discussion in May in Las Vegas that we kicked off with Informatica World and some really amazing leaders that joined us for that. We're doing a book club to keep the conversation going. And what was interesting is that we sent a survey out to the women and said, what's most interesting? And I thought there was a lot of topics there that were sort of the usual suspects, right? So tell me about cognitive, or what are you seeing for robotic process automation? But I think that idea and what I talked about before about being entrepreneurial and that spirit of being curious, in the laundry list of items that the women selected was smart cities. And I thought, well, that's really interesting to me because no one in the cohort came from public sector, but I think it's really that spirit of, one, I'm a citizen and I want to know how I'm impacted or what's going on, but at the same time, benchmarking other industries and really not accepting the status quo. And I think at the end of the day, embracing that idea is absolutely fascinating. And so we took 25, we're well over 100 at this point in time. We're working together with a number of other initiatives, with Stanford's initiative with the Women in Science and Engineering, another set of software vendors that are, bringing to bear some really neat ideas around, women re-entering the workforce. And so it's really, I think, a great way to foster an environment where we can embrace the diversity of skills, right? So we've done so much, but I'm so hopeful that we will have organizations that are really interested in promoting strong athletes and recognizing that, it could be your CHRO or your CMO or somebody that came from a very, very different part of the business that could be your next chief data officer, right? Because you require strong skills in data and analysis, which of course all executives are reliant on the data fabric of an organization, but also that you're really primed to take on some of the diverse challenges that lie at that intersection of technology. And I think, women are uniquely, positioned to bring some of that together in a way that, I love seeing the growth and some of the conversations that I see happening in this cohort of women is absolutely fascinating. So I'm really, really fortunate to be our sponsor for that. And, certainly we didn't indicate at the beginning of the call, but that's how I met you. And I think that, I always say the more, the more. And so it's just sort of one small little drop in an opportunity that we can do to shift and grow and support women and diversity in all aspects of our teams. There's so much research and I'm sure this far better than I do around the importance of diverse teams and bringing all different aspects and walks of life into contributing to the best business decision or IT solution or strategy. I think it's upon us to help in every way that we can to drive inclusion.
Well, Clacy, what a great conversation. I think I can go on talking to you for another hour. I have to say goodbye to you and thank you so much for coming to the show. Really, really appreciate it.
Truly an honor. I'm so grateful to meet you and to have this opportunity to share these stories and with much admiration. Just so glad to have chatted with you.
Thank you.
As we heard, cognitive technologies are on the rise of its evolution and becoming more available for its application within businesses today than ever before. Also, Tracy's effort in leading women in technology is remarkable. There's a massive gender gap in the technology industry, and it's important to be aware of the facts. Dow Jones released a study that looked at venture-backed companies that went public or were acquired or were called successful. the share of female executives was 7.1% compared to 3.1% at unsuccessful firms. We need this effort, and thank you, Tracy, for all that you're doing. With that and more, I will be back. Till then, this is your host, Asha Saxena, signing off for Die with Data.